There was a pastor by the name of Pastor Robbins who shares about an occasion early in his ministry where he and his wife were barely able to make ends meet. When I arrived home, Jerry saw the worry on my face. I had $3 in my wallet, and there was one can of soup left in the pantry. After our meager supper, I quickly leafed through my Bible in the dim light. Tears streamed down from my eyes, and I wondered whether we were really called by God or not. I felt like giving up. Then I thought, what alternative do I have? Who else can I turn to but God? I read, "The effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much." So Jerry and I knelt at opposite sides in our little trailer, and we began to seek God. Into the night we prayed until sleep overtook us. I was awakened by the pounding of the door as the sun rose. "Who is it?" I asked. A mysterious voice replied, "I've got something for you." I opened the door, and there stood a short man with a grin on his face and two grocery bags in his arms. He quickly shoved the bags in the doorway and then walked away. We were stunned as we began to look through the bags. There was bread, meat, canned goods, and several cans of my favorite soup. They were the same items and brands that we would normally purchase. There was also a can of shaving cream. Who knew I had just used my last ounce of it? On the bottom of the sack was an envelope with cash in it, the precise amount that we needed in order to get to our next destination. On that wintry Saturday morning in Syracuse, New York, my wife and I wept in our trailer and thanked God for hearing and answering our prayer. No one on the planet knew about our need except the Lord God Almighty and the little grinning man who ministered to us. You know, I don't know about you, but I love these stories. It kind of reminds me of seminary because a lot of that happened, actually. But as I continue to reflect with you on how good and beautiful our God is, I want to reflect with you again on one of the attributes of our Lord, and that is our God is trustworthy. Our God can be trusted. We may not like his timing. God is a just-in-time deliverer. That's what I've discovered over time. He likes to wait to the very last moment and even beyond that. But God is trustworthy. And as our brother, Pastor Robin, shared, no one knew about his need except he and his wife and the Lord God Almighty and that little grinning man who had two bags of groceries that next morning. And this whole idea that God is trustworthy is something that James Smith shares in his book, The Good and Beautiful God, and he affirms to us. He affirms this truth, and he shares with us the following. Jesus calls God Abba. And in fact, he calls God his Abba at some very important times. One of those important times is the last night that he will spend on earth in the Garden of Gethsemane. He cries out to his Father, and in the language of his day, and in his language, he calls him Abba, his father, his daddy, in one of the most important moments of his life. In fact, that word Abba is best translated, dear father, dear father. And it also contains a sense of obedience. God was not distant or far removed from Jesus, but rather he was intimately involved in his life. In one of the most trying and struggling times of his life. And beloved, I think for you, part of the invitation in our lives is during those moments in our life where we are going through some of the most profound struggles that we have gone through. And maybe you and I have already tossed up a few prayers and done this and that, and God hasn't quite moved the way we had anticipated. So God's already in our timeout corner, if you will. And we've tried any one of a number of other things that still aren't working, and we are frustrated, we are struggling, we are angry, and we are at our wits' end. We are at the very end of our rope. Those are moments where important decisions are made. And it was no different for Jesus. Jesus in that moment had an opportunity to shake his fist at his father, but instead he chose to, again, humble himself and press into his dear father, his Abba, who he wanted to follow and obey. And for you and I, wherever we are in life right now, whatever we are going through, whatever struggle we may be facing, whatever mountain we may be climbing, whatever hope we may be realizing, our invitation in every moment is to affirm and press more deeply into the reality that our God can be trusted. He can be trusted. Thomas Smell shares, the Father that Jesus addresses in the garden is the one that he has known all his life and found to be bountiful in his provision, reliable in his promises, and utterly faithful in his love. He can obey the will that sends him to the cross as the trusting response to know and love. And you see, that's the journey, isn't it? You know, as you and I go through life, the trials and the struggles that we go through at the beginning seem hard, but over time, as we grow in faith, they become greater and greater and greater. Until, like Jesus, and until, like Pastor Robbins, we come to certain places in our lives where we are praying and entrusting our very life into God's hands. Father, I don't want to drink this cup, but nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. Father, we have just eaten our last can of soup. I have just used my last ounce of shaving cream. Help, provide for us. And those are the moments in the furnace where we can grow even more deeply in our trust for God and our closeness to God. In a few moments, you and I are going to be praying a prayer that we have prayed thousands of times, called the Our Father. And at the very beginning of that prayer, we begin with the words, Our Father, which even in Jesus' day were revolutionary. They wouldn't even say the name of God. So for this rabbi beginning to teach his disciples how to pray, to teach them to say Our Father was powerful. And it still is today. In the Our Father, Jesus affirms that God is nearby, that God is holy and powerful, that he is caring, forgiving, and our protector. Our Father, he is your Father, who wants to be right there with you, your daddy, who cares for you. There should not be a day in your life or my life where on some level we do not crawl up into the lap of our Abba and allow him to hold us and to embrace us. We need his love on a continuing basis. We need his embrace. We need Abba to comfort us and to love us and to help us to learn even more deeply how trustworthy he is. Our Father is near. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father is holy. We can crawl up into his lap and enjoy the warmth of his loving embrace, and yet we also know that we're in the presence of a God who is mighty, who is holy, who is so different than you and me that he is worthy of our worship. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our God is powerful. As you and I pray to the Father as one of his children, and we ask that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, there are times where God moves in that way and things happen in our lives and the lives of people around us because of the prayers of a righteous man and woman avail much before the throne of God. Especially when we're praying for something that God wants. Our God is caring. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread or a can of soup or whatever it is you need, the grace to get out of bed today, enough money to make the rent, or enough grace to know what to do with all the blessings that God has given you. God cares about every detail of your life. He wants to share in the details of your life. And we just need to take time to let him do that. our Father is forgiving. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He's our protector as well. So you see, in this very simple prayer that you and I have been praying for decade upon decade, over thousands of times, that you and I just kind of, it goes in one ear and out the other. It just kind of comes flowing out of our mouths, and we just kind of get on with our day, and we kind of forget about it. Don't forget about it. Don't forget about him. For he is your Father and your Abba. And let me say this to you here today. This can be especially true if you're going through any kind of furnace, any kind of trial, any kind of struggle. It can be especially true if you're experiencing great blessings in your life and overwhelming joy. Because it is at those moments in our life where God is inviting us to draw even closer to him, to be even more intimate with him. God, our Abba, our Father, is inviting us into a relationship with him that grows each and every day in greater trust in his goodness, in giving our life to him. It is no coincidence in my sermon today that I opened up with a story about a pastor and his wife having to trust God to provide for their next meal, literally, and also sharing about the Lord himself entrusting his life to God. And beloved, that's the journey. That's the journey for you and me. If you want it to be different, it's not going to be different. The journey for you and me is a journey in relationship. It's a journey that has crescendos. It's a journey of invitation. It's a journey of deepening. It's a journey of going down the road of life and learning day by day more and more to trust more of ourselves completely to him. To give your baby to him. To give your grandchildren to him. To give your job to him. And your bank account to him. To give your addiction to him. And your brokenness to him. And your hopes to him as well. Because he's your Father. He's your Abba. Who's your daddy? He's your daddy. He's your daddy. And these attributes in the Our Father give us a strong image of who God is. He is not the force. He is not some philosophical thought in your mind. He is not some myth. But he is perfectly revealed to us in the person of Jesus as a loving Abba, a caring Father, who has shown up on this planet, continues to show up through the presence of the Holy Spirit, and invites his people to be with him in relationship. So let me ask you a question here today. Do you believe that your God is trustworthy? Do you believe that in depth of your heart? And most importantly, are you believing it with your life and how you live? Are you believing it in how you're relating to other people? Are you believing it in how you're relating to God, the God Almighty himself, your Father, your Abba? Are you believing it in terms of the stewardship of your time and talent and treasure? You know, any of us can say anything. But you know, you got to look at your life for the proof of what you really believe. And that's important. I want to take a moment with you to reflect on the ways in which God has already demonstrated to you and me that he is indeed trustworthy. And one of the great ways that we can do that is to count our blessings. We're going to take a moment right now to count our blessings. So if you open up in your bulletin to back where the announcements are, all the way in the back of the bulletin, there is a place there, surprise, surprise, right below all those names of the people that need to pick up their name tags, but I'll be talking to you about that later. Okay. There's a section there at the very middle part of the two-thirds of the way down that's entitled, Count Your Blessings. You know, one of the great ways that you and I can begin to understand about how trustworthy our God is to remember the many blessings he has already given us, to remember the many ways in which he has already smiled upon us and provided for us. Wherever you are right now, whether it is a place of struggle or a place of joy, I want to invite you along with me to take this moment to count your blessings. So this space is limited. I'm just going to lead you in three areas to count three blessings each. If you want to get out the legal pad this week or later on today, start writing them out. We should be able to write out at least a good couple of pages, but we're just going to get it started this morning, okay? So first of all, get the pencil out of the pew there. Get your pencil. Get yourself a book that you can write on, a hymnal or prayer book or whatever. This is we're going to do it right now. This is not homework. This is now work, okay? This is now work. And we're going to spend a moment counting our blessings, okay? All right, awesome. First area I'd like you to think about is yourself. I want you to think about yourself, and I just want you to think about and write down three things about yourself that God has blessed you with. You know, attributes that you have, your personality, whatever it might be, but three specific areas of yourself that you consider a blessing from God. Just go ahead and write those down right now. Doesn't matter what somebody else thinks about them. It matters what you think about them. God has blessed you with certain gifts and abilities. You are unique. You are peculiar. You are special. Write three of those down. You are the apple of his eye. All right, let's go to the second area. Everybody done with that one? Okay. Let's go to the second area. Again, three specific ways in which you see blessing. I want to look at the area of relationships. The area of relationships. Maybe a particular person will come to mind. Maybe a particular way in which you have relationships will come to mind. But again, three specific ways in which God has blessed you in relationships. Might be a joy, it might be a challenge. Even a challenge in a relationship can be a blessing. But I want you to write down three areas of relationship that are a blessing. And if you have to write four, that's okay. Go ahead. I'm adding one to my column. All right. Relationships. Relationships are one of the great areas of blessing from God. Great blessing from him that we can relate to one another as human beings. Relationships. And the third area, the material. What are three ways in which God has blessed you in the material world? Things, whatever it might be. What do you see as blessings in the material world for you? And again, write down three of those. I want to encourage you, we're going to have a prayer in just a moment, but I want you to take this home with you today. I want you to put this in your Bible or on the side of your fridge or in your bathroom mirror or in your journal, wherever you might look at it during this week. And I want this just to be the beginning of a week in which you are counting your blessings, where you are remembering the many ways in which God has already blessed you and demonstrated how wild he is about you and how much he loves you and just smiles at you. And I want you to remember as you and I count our blessings that your God is trustworthy. You may not be getting everything you want. Your life might not be working out exactly how you planned. But I want to tell you something. Your God is trustworthy.